much forward to it. And I believe the president is on the phone. Enrique?
Notwithstanding that awkward speakerphone situation with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, last week U.S. President Donald Trump said that the U.S. had reached an agreement with Mexico to update the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA.
It's an incredible deal. It's an incredible deal for both parties. Most importantly, it's an incredible deal for the workers and for the citizens of both countries.
Now, NAFTA has not been updated yet. Nothing has been passed into law. So far, there's just an agreement between the U.S. and Mexico for how it should be updated. But we are left with a bunch of questions, like what did the U.S. and Mexico actually just agree to? And is Canada, which is also in NAFTA, going to go along with the new deal? And if a new NAFTA is eventually passed, what are the likely consequences for the economy, for you and me? And when we have questions about trade, we like to call an old pal who specializes in writing and talking about trade.
I am Samaya Keynes. I am the U.S. economics editor at The Economist.
Today on the show, Samaya tells us what's going on. She gives us a NAFTA splainer of sorts. That is coming right up.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. Invest in high-growth companies of the future, innovating in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/indicator. Support also comes from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here.
So let me start with this. NAFTA was signed more than two decades ago. Samaya, why is the U.S. now renegotiating it?
There are two answers to that. There's the uncontroversial one, and then there's the controversial one. So I think pretty much everyone agrees that this deal is a really old one. It was written when the internet wasn't really a thing. It contains rules for trade in cars that reference things like cassette players. I don't know how many cassette players you've seen in cars.
Only if you're recently. Going retro.
Okay, so this is a retro trade deal. And so one motivation for renegotiating it is that you need to update it, bring it into the 21st century. The second reason it's being negotiated is a bit more contested. And essentially, President Donald Trump thinks that the original gave America a really raw deal. So on the Mexican side, he basically looks at the bilateral trade deficit between the US and Mexico. And essentially, since this deal was agreed, Mexicans have been increasing the rate of their exports to America at a greater rate than the rate at which they've been increasing their imports. So essentially, Donald Trump doesn't like that. He wants the Americans to sell the Mexicans more stuff. On the Canadian side, he's got it into his head that the Canadians are protectionist. He'd like American cheese and milk makers to be able to sell more into Canada. And so a new fair version of this deal is supposed to address that.
Okay, and so last week we got all this news that the U.S. had agreed to a new deal with Mexico specifically, not yet with Canada. What was, in fact, agreed to with Mexico?
As a trade geek, I would love to see more details of what they agreed. In some cases,
you mean we don't know?
No, we don't know. All we have are various interviews with Mexican policymakers, and we have a bunch of press releases that the United States Trade Representative set out. But, you know, there are just really important details lacking. So,
but Samaya, from what I understand, a lot of this new agreement with Mexico was about trade in cars and autos. What exactly do we know about what's going on there?
That's right. That was really at the heart of this new bilateral agreement. And there, what's being negotiated is something called rules of origin. Now, at this point, all non-trade nerds are going to go to sleep.
Tuned out.
But please,
tuned
please don't.
Out.
So what rules of origin are, they're a set of conditions that a car has to meet if it's going to take advantage of the zero tariffs that are available under the NAFTA deal. So if you want to send a car from Mexico to the US and get a 0% tariff, then your car is going to have to meet certain criteria. And essentially, the negotiation was over what these criteria would be. So relative to the original deal, it looks like they have negotiated that now a car will have to have more North American content if it wants to qualify for the zero tariff.
Like more of its components have to come from a North American country. Those components have to be made in Canada, the US, or Mexico. Is that right?
Exactly. So if you're a Japanese car maker and previously you were importing your Japanese engine from Japan and assembling that into a car in Mexico and hoping that you would get it into the American market under a zero tariff, that is now going to be a bit harder. And then the other thing that they negotiated was about where a part of a car would have to be made. So for a car, 40% of the car is going to have to be made in a high wage zone. And roughly it sounds like that's going to be defined as an area where people are earning above $16 an hour. That's well above the wage in Mexico on average. And so really this looks like it's a condition that if a car is going to go from Mexico to America, then at least part of it is going to have to be made in America or in Canada where wages are also higher.
Okay, so that's what's going on with Mexico. Where does Canada fit into all this?
There's a lot of really weird politics going on and a lot of really weird spin. So the Trump administration is trying to make it seem as though they've just agreed this final deal with Mexico, and if the Canadians don't sign on, then they'll go ahead without them. The Canadians are saying, no, this isn't our deadline. We're only going to accept a good deal. Meanwhile, the U.S. Congress is saying, no, Trump administration, you can't go ahead with only the Mexicans. There's a lot of very public fighting over what exactly the next step is. Right now we know that there are some very tense conversations going on between the Canadians and the American negotiators.
There's something kind of interesting about the new conditions that were negotiated with Mexico, which is that the Trump administration, by and large, on economic matters, has pushed for a lot of deregulation. So if you look at the environment, if you look at the financial market, they have pushed for deregulation. It seems like on this issue of trade, where they're trying to put in new conditions on where parts can come from, new conditions on how much the workers making those parts have to earn, it seems like it's going in the other way in favor of more regulation.
Definitely. This is a pretty heavy-handed approach to production in North America. What they're trying to do is they're trying to shape how supply chains work of these car companies. And car production is a hugely global operation. You have these supply chains that cross continents. You have all sorts of electronics coming from China. You have various components coming from Europe and Japan. And what the Trump administration is trying to do is it's trying to limit the extent to which those global supply chains can operate.
What can we say about the potential consequences if, in fact, some version of this deal with Mexico ends up getting passed as a new version of NAFTA, if these new conditions actually are enacted? What can we say about the economic consequences of that?
So I'm going to caveat this with the fact that I haven't seen the text. And if
yes.
anyone has the text out there, hello, email it to me.
Samia Keynes at economist.com, yeah.
Please. But what we do know is that to the extent that these new rules force companies to do something that they weren't doing before, there was a reason they weren't doing it before in all likelihood. And so what this probably means is that supply chains are going to shift. You're going to have more sourcing from North America. But that means that costs are going to be higher. And maybe that will be passed on to American consumers. So maybe cars will become more expensive. Maybe car companies will respond by building a ton of robots and automating a ton of jobs away more quickly than they might have done otherwise. It's really difficult to know what the long-term consequences are going to be of this.
Samia Keynes, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.